Good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, Micah, for those songs. They tied in well with the topic that I have for this morning, thinking of Jesus leading us on. And the line in the chorus is, by the straight and narrow way. And maybe not the nice, easy way that we would always hope for, but we're following our shepherd. The other song talked about Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. So thinking about following our Lord. The last time I shared, I talked about following Jesus and looked at who Jesus is. And the passage was from Matthew 11 and the invitation that Jesus gives to come to him and find rest. Jesus gives us a rest. And right after that, he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And we looked at that last time, what it means that Jesus is meek and lowly. You could say gentle and humble, and I think the rest that Jesus gives is connected to the fact that he is meek and lowly. He's not demanding and a harsh leader, but one who is gentle. And today I want to continue looking at that subject of following Jesus. And this morning, I want to consider the path that Jesus leads us on. So what kind of path is it? As we follow Jesus, as we follow our shepherd, as he leads us on, what kind of path are we going to be traveling? And there's quite a few passages that talk about the different paths that we can be on through the Bible, and probably the most common one that our minds go to is from Matthew chapter 7. And I'd like to turn there for a text this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I'd just like for us to ponder as we think about the path that Jesus leads us on, is what path are you on? What road are you traveling? And when we talk about following Jesus, we're talking about discipleship and becoming more like Jesus. And the path that you're on will impact where you end up. So who are you following? Are you following the path that Jesus gives? And in Matthew 7, Jesus describes the path as narrow. Just like we sang about in that song, the straight and narrow way. And that's the title of the message this morning, Following Jesus, the Narrow Path. And we'll look at this narrow path that Jesus is calling us to, what that means for us, and also to balance that with the passage in Matthew 11 that we talked about last time of Jesus giving us rest. And then here we see a narrow path and a difficult path. How do we mesh these together? The burden is light. And I think as we look at the narrow path, I think the cross is also a part of the path that Jesus gives. So how do we see all that? How do we unify that? So we'll look at that this morning. But I'd like to read just two verses from Matthew chapter 7. Right in the middle of the chapter here, where Jesus talks about the path that we should be on. Matthew 7:13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's words of caution that we see here. There's something we need to pay attention to, a reminder. Make sure that you're on the right path. Because there's many that are on the path to destruction. And I'd like to think a little bit about a path. A path or a way is how you get from point A to point B. And you might call it a road. And if you want to get to a certain place, you need to figure out what path you're going to take to get there. How am I going to get there? And Jesus is using the analogy of life like traveling a road. And we're at a certain point right now, and we're going somewhere. And the place where you are going is determined by the decisions that you make each day. So where are we going? What path are we traveling? And in a sense, we're choosing our path by the decisions that we make. And what we decide today is going to impact where we end up tomorrow. So as we think about the path that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about the decisions that we make and how that impacts where we're going. There's a pathway to life, and there's a pathway to destruction. There's two destinations. And I think it should get our attention, the fact that there are many, he says there's many on the road that leads to destruction. There's many on that wide and broad way, the easy way that leads to destruction. And you know, when you think about the two options, the pathway to life or the pathway to destruction, I think all of us would say we want to be on the path to life. But what does it take to be on that path? And I did a little bit of searching, and I realized that this same idea shows up quite a few other places in the Bible as other biblical authors that wrote about two paths, and we have to choose between those. In Deuteronomy 30, we see a similar decision laid in front of the people of Israel. Moses says, I'm putting before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says, choose life. Throughout Proverbs, we see the call to choose wisdom, choose the path of life. Isaiah talks about the way of holiness, Isaiah 35, and how the unclean are not going to walk in that way. And also in Jeremiah, we see God setting before the people of Israel the way of life and the way of death, Jeremiah 21, verse 8. So there's other passages that have the same picture. There's two paths, and which path are you on? The decision is left up to us. What path are we going to choose? And the difference between these two paths he gives, one is straight and narrow, and straight would mean narrow, and it's not talking about not the crooked path, but it's restricted or confined. It's straight, and we would use that for a small strip of water that connects two larger bodies of water. It's just a narrowing down. They would call that a strait, like the Strait of Gibraltar. But it's talking about a narrow path, straight and narrow. And that's in contrast to the wide and the easy path. There's a broad way, and it's a lot easier. He says that the way to life is narrow. And that word narrow in verse 14 has the idea of being difficult and afflicted. Some translations would actually use difficult. It's translated also as troubled or afflicted, tribulation. So the way to life is filled with tribulation, and it's difficult. So does this mean that the Christian life is difficult and hard? And that's where we try to look at Matthew 11. Jesus gives us rest. His burden is light. And what he says here, the pathway is narrow and difficult. So which one is it? Is it easy or hard? And I found in my study that there are other people asking the same question. And I think this is one of those things that we just have to ponder and wrestle with. The one comment that stood out to me, somebody trying to work through this question, he said that Jesus wants us to stop and think about this. Like, this is something extraordinary, this Christian life, and if we could figure it all out completely, then that wouldn't be God. There's something about how God operates that's just on a different level, and we just have to ponder, sit and ponder what this is. So I would hold that both of these are true, but there's different aspects that we have to sort out and try to understand in the limited way that we can. So the word narrow, I'd like to think about the narrow path. Said it could be defined also as restricted or confined, pressed in. So something that's just really narrow. And in my mind, I picture just a narrow passageway that you have to work to get through. It's not just an easy fit. You might have to duck here and there or turn sideways to get through. And I think of those who explore caves and those brave people who just go into a cave and they just want to get as far as they can, explore the very depths. And I've heard stories. I've never been in a lot of caves. I explored a few caverns, but there's stories where you can barely fit through this crevice in this cave, and I guess some people get a thrill out of that, going in as far as you can, but you have to turn yourself just right to get through. And if you have a big heavy coat on or a backpack, that's going to limit you. And what you need to do, if you have baggage like that, you have to get rid of that in order to fit through. And I think that might give us a little bit better picture of what Jesus is getting at. When we come to Jesus, if there's any baggage that we have, we need to unload that and empty ourselves so that we can fit through the narrow gate that Jesus is talking about. It reminds me of the story that Jesus told, how it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's different ideas on what exactly that's talking about, but I remember one interpretation, one idea of what that might be is the eye of a needle referring to a certain gate in the city of Jerusalem, and for a camel to go through that gate, it was a small gate. For a camel to go through, it had to get rid of all the baggage that was loaded onto it, and it had to get down on its knees and shuffle through this really narrow gate. And I'm not sure exactly if that's verified or not, but I think it's that same idea of unloading our baggage, coming in surrender to Jesus. And when we come with open hands, rather than holding on tight to the things that we want to keep, when we come and surrender, that's when we can find rest. And it's not that we have to, that straight and narrow path, it's not that we have to be perfect and perform to the utmost standard, but I think it's more so connected to surrender and being willing to let go. And surrender is never easy, to let go and to unload. It's difficult to do that. You look at the rest of Matthew 7, and he right away gives a warning about false prophets. And he says, beware, be cautious. There are people who will try to make you think that there is another way, and that there's an easier way where you don't have to do that surrender, that narrow path. And he said, look for the fruit. That's how you'll know. And also the end of the chapter where he gives a sad ending of those who did not follow through with obedience, who didn't follow that narrow path, the story of the two builders. And I'd like to read from the parallel passage of this from Luke chapter 13. I'll read a few verses from there. Luke chapter 13. Verses 22 to 24. I think I'll read this few verses here, a parallel passage from Matthew. It says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And I think I'll stop there. The verses go on to parallel the end of Matthew 7, those who thought they were on the right path, but ended up they couldn't get in the end. So Jesus was asked the question, as he's teaching, somebody asked him the question, are there few that be saved? And you think about, you know, is it that difficult that only a few are going to be saved in the end? And he kind of sidesteps the question. He doesn't directly answer it, but he gives an indirect answer. He says there's going to be many that try, that are seeking to enter in, but shall not be able. And then he goes right to the crux of the matter, and he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And there again, the narrow gate. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Do your best. Put effort into the narrow gate. And the verses after that talk about what it's like for those who didn't enter the narrow gate. When they get to the end, they'll say, Lord, we did all these things. And Jesus says, I never knew you. They missed the surrender and the lordship of Jesus. And as I look at these two passages, I'm struck by this solemn reminder to think seriously about what Jesus is saying about being on the right path. Because the fact is that there are many who think they are on the right path, but when the time comes, they find out that they were not on the right path. And I don't know what all that will look like, but I think it's a reminder for us to think carefully about the path that we're on. And another aspect of this path that Jesus gives is that of the cross. And I think the narrow way is connected to the cross that Jesus talks about in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24, where Jesus is foretelling his coming death. And Peter takes him aside. He says, Lord, this shall not be. Peter said, no, there has to be a different way. And we see Jesus sternly rebuking Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan, for you are not favoring the things of God, but those that things that be of men. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says this. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And to follow Jesus on that narrow path is to follow the way of the cross, like he talks about here, taking up our cross and following. And we know that's the path that Jesus took, and that's the same path that he is calling us to as well. And that verse talks specifically about self-denial. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And I think oftentimes, that's the biggest hurdle that we face, is our selfish desires and our fleshly lusts that get in the way of what Jesus is calling us to. And we have to lay that aside. 1 Peter 2 talks about abstaining from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. That's one of those upside-down principles that we see in Jesus' teaching, the way of the cross, the surrender, the self-denial. It's part of following the path of Jesus. As we think about the path that Jesus gives, the narrow path, what does it mean for us, and how do we apply this? Let's have two things to think about as we consider following the path of Jesus. First of all, it's something that is lived out. Following Jesus isn't just something that we talk about and that we have in our head, but it affects our heart. And it's worked out in real life. And the path that you're on is connected to the decisions that you make. And sometimes we face decisions that are very difficult, where we might know the right answer, but it's difficult to do the right thing. We come face to face with self-denial, and there's a cost. I think we've all been at that point before sometime or other, and I think it's moments like those that show us what path we're on. And I'm reminded of a quote from Gandhi. Gandhi was a famous nonviolent protester from India. And one time he said about Christianity, he said, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians." And he read about Jesus and he saw things that he liked there. But then he looked at the people who called themselves Christians and it didn't line up. And it was a sad testimony of people who are taking the name Christian but yet not following the path that he gives. And I think it's a reminder for us that we do need to live out what Jesus taught. We need to take up our cross and deny self at times. And secondly, I think identity plays a part as well. Who are we identifying with? Do we willingly and joyfully identify with Jesus? And I think if our identity is with Jesus, we won't focus as much on the narrow path and the hardships. The story is told of Horatio Nelson, who was a famous British admiral in the Navy, British Navy, the late 1700s. He was one of those military geniuses that everybody wanted to be with him. And there's one voyage that he took to the West Indies that encountered some hardships. And there was one of his men on that voyage was writing a letter to a loved one in his journal. And this is what he said. He said, "We are half starved and otherwise inconvenienced by being so long out of port, but our reward is that we are with Nelson." And just thinking of the fact that, yes, they were experiencing difficulties. They were inconvenienced, but they were with their leader. And that was, he says, a reward enough for him. There was a loyalty and a willing identity with his leader, and that was enough to make up for the challenges that they were facing. And what about us? Do we find joy and comfort in the fact that we are with our leader? We're following, and any inconvenience or challenge that we face is overshadowed by the fact that we're with Jesus. And I hope that can be our testimony. And I'm reminded also of Acts 14:22. The Paul and Barnabas were encouraging the believers at Iconium, and they said, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." And I think that speaks again to the difficult path that Jesus was talking about. Yes, there are afflictions, but there's also rest when we come to Jesus. Rest for our soul. So following Jesus means following his path. And it's a narrow path. It's a difficult path at times. It involves the cross. It involves self-denial. And putting self to the side is very difficult. But there's also rest in following Jesus. And the other side, we have the way to destruction. And it's a very easy and wide road, but the end of that road is destruction, where we don't have to worry about the cross or self-denial. It's just a reminder for each one of us to carefully consider the path that we're on. I'm going to close with an illustration that Harold Martin gives in his commentary when he looks at the two ways. He describes it as a funnel. And if you travel the wide way, it's like entering in the funnel at the wide end. And it's very easy to get in, There's no restrictions. There's a nice wide opening, but as you go further down that path, it closes in tighter and tighter, and you realize that the way of the transgressor is hard, and there's a bondage that comes from walking down that path. And he says the narrow path is like a funnel as well, but you start at the narrow end, and it's harder to get in. But as you continue walking that path, you find that the way opens up wider and wider, and it grows more rewarding each day as you go further down that path. So I just want to encourage each one of us to follow that narrow path that Jesus gives. And like it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, ponder the path of your feet. May we be faithful in following that narrow path as we follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and the guidance that you give for us in life. And I pray that you would give us the strength that we need to follow your path that you give for us. Help us to find that rest even through the challenges that we face. Help us to be willing to come and surrender, to live in self-denial as you have called us to. And I pray that you would guide us and that we would find that rewarding path as we follow you each day. I pray that you would go with each one of us, help us to find that blessing and to be an encouragement as we go about the week ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.